America's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 24th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And I'm giving you everything I got. I promise you that. I'm giving you everything this voice will allow me to do today. It started to hit me yesterday morning, and has just gotten, I don't know if it's gotten worse or just hasn't gotten better. Either way, I'm talking as loud and as hard as physically possible and trying to save my voice for the rest of the week. Of course, Auburn High football this week. I mean, there's a lot going on. So bear with me on that. We're going to do our best today, and hopefully it doesn't just completely go out on me. But hope you're doing well on this Tuesday. Tons to get to. Lots of more reactions to Auburn football's loss this past weekend, and yeah, Hugh Freeze gave us more talking points last night during Tiger Talk, so gonna have that here on the show today. And a crazy trend that caught on social media yesterday afternoon and last night from former players. I mean, just crazy stuff is happening. When it rains, it pours, I think it's the best way to say that. And so we're gonna get to all of that in hour number two. Luckily, on this day that I'm struggling with a voice, this happens about once a year, is what I was telling the guys in here. It happens about once a year. If you're around here quite often, you know that. Hit me during football season a year ago, so that was exciting. But thankfully, I'm not in the studio by myself today. Got a couple of guys with me. He's with me every Tuesday. He's the voice of Lee Scott. Christian Griffin is in the studio. My man, good to see you on this Tuesday afternoon.
Great to be here. Yeah, a whole lot of stuff to get into on the Auburn football and just the college football slate side of things before we turn the page to a look ahead this upcoming Saturday. But I know we got a pretty hectic hour this hour as well, a whole lot to talk about on the diamond as well.
That's right. We are back for another baseball power hour. We missed this guy last week. He was out dealing with a sickness under the weather. Seems like you're still recovering over there, Lindsey Crosby. You doing okay, my man?
The voice is not 100% back. It's a lot better than it was.
We're in this together, man.
But physically, I actually feel better for the first time in over a week. So thank you guys for making do without me last Tuesday. I'm excited to talk some ball. And what is, we're entering the final six games of the season for every team.
The beard and the flow look great. So even if the voice doesn't, you got that working for you. So that can cover most of it too.
Can you tell my mom, can you clip that and send it to my mom?
Of course. I think that might be a little promo that we can use.
She's not been a fan of the flow and the beard.
They never are.
I'm glad you made yourself look great for radio, man. Proud of you for that.
Thanks. I knew it would really hit with, you know, the critical demo of people in the studio with me.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of us in here, and we're excited for what should be a really, really fun, emotional, powerful power hour for baseball. And if you're new around here, we do this every week. Lindsey's been with me for a long time now, and we do this on Tuesdays in the first hour throughout the baseball season, an entire hour, the one solo hour a week where we talk nothing but baseball. And you and I were texting this morning, Lindsey. This is probably the most impactful, the most crucial baseball power hour of the year. You mentioned we're down to the final six games of the regular season, and for the Atlanta Braves, it starts tonight at home against the Mets, and this is the most, and I mean the most, important series the Braves have played all season long.
Yes, the tweet that they put out literally 2 minutes ago with tonight's lineup says the biggest homestand of the season starts tonight. Atlanta is two games back from the New York Mets, a game and a half back from the Arizona Diamondbacks for the final wild card spot. They got three here against the Mets, and the tiebreaker has not been decided. The first tiebreaker between two teams is head-to-head record. These teams are 5-5 versus one another this year, so the winner of this series will hold the tiebreaker, and there is an outside chance that the Arizona Diamondbacks fall out, and both teams could make it. But either way, Atlanta in these next six games, one, Atlanta has to win this series. If they don't win this series, I don't see any way they're going to make the postseason. But Atlanta probably has to go 5-1 to have a better than 50% chance of making the postseason. And ideally, you need to sweep the Mets. So we'll see what happens. But there's also a lot to talk about when it comes to weather, because I have no idea. There's some bad weather coming. And I have no idea how they're going to make these games up if a game or two gets postponed because of unplayable conditions.
Well, before we get to all that, I want to remind everybody, phone lines are open. If you have a baseball question, conversation, piece, anything that you want to hit on in terms of Major League Baseball as we get towards the postseason, give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. Comments, questions, concerns in terms of baseball, we'd love to hear from you in this baseball power hour. We will get to football things coming up in hour number two. And I think that's a good place to start, Lindsay, because, weather is impacting a lot of things right now. And, of course, it's impacting a lot of things more important than baseball, people's livelihoods and their homes and everything like that through the southern states here of Florida up through Alabama, Georgia, and beyond. And we definitely want to make that known. But in terms of the sports side of things, which is what we do here, you've got some crucial baseball games that could be rained out. What is the game plan if that happens? I mean, what do they do if that is what ends up happening here?
So I sent an email this morning to the league office, to MLB.
Yeah, you did.
They do not want to discuss contingency plans as of yet, right? They are working on them.
What?
But they do not officially have an announcement of what would happen. So tonight should be fine, knock on wood. Tomorrow, it's somewhere, Weather Channel, which is in Atlanta, for the record, 1 to 2 inches of rain expected, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, heavy thunderstorms in the evening. So there's a good chance you can't play on Wednesday. Thursday, they're talking about 100% chance of rain, 2 to 3 inches, with tropical storm conditions expected that night. So if you lose two games on Wednesday and Thursday, I'm really at a loss as to what you're going to do, because both these teams start another series on Friday with playoff teams or playoff contenders, and then the season ends on Sunday with the wild card starting next week. And so somebody suggested to me maybe they push back the road trips and these two teams play a doubleheader on Friday. And I've just never seen MLB preemptively move another series because this one's going to have a delay. So do you maybe do something where you bring them back on Monday and make them play two games on Monday, knowing that both of these teams are going to be in the wild card immediately after that? The Mets probably will. The Braves could or could not. I mean, game one of the wild card is supposed to start on October 1st.
Is what day? Is that Tuesday?
That is Tuesday. So, you can't have a doubleheader on Monday.
That's a week from today.
Yeah. You can't have a doubleheader on Monday. You can ask them to play two games on Monday and then travel and play a wild card game on Tuesday. You can't do that.
When you're already playing six games regardless.
Yeah. And so,
jeez.
You're in this situation now, you can't just not play these games. They have done that before. The last time it happened for Atlanta was, I think, 2019, and it was Rockies-Braves, but the Rockies were out of it. The Braves were already in it. They had won the division, and so they just said, we're not going to make this game up. Each team finished with 161 games. But you can't do that this year. And so the thing that makes the most sense to me is push the start of the Mets-Milwaukee series in Milwaukee to Saturday, and push the start of Braves-Royals to Saturday and ask these teams to play a doubleheader on Friday if you need to. But that means you also have to play a doubleheader on Sunday to wrap the season up so these teams can have a day off before Monday. Gosh. And I've never seen weather projected to be this bad at this late of the season and not have an idea of how you could fix it.
And it be at the point of, this affects
all four teams matter.
I was going to say, this affects the four teams in the National League. This affects possibly the Royals in the American League
who
hold the final wild card spot. Like, it's absolutely crazy just to think about. Atlanta's playing the Mets, obviously, in a three-game series. They finish with the Royals, who are tied in the wild card spot. The Dodgers have already locked up their bracket, but they're playing the Padres in a three-game series. The Padres then play the Diamondbacks, who are also in that tied for the wild card spot. So it's weird how one or two games in Atlanta could really affect six or seven teams in the final three games of the regular season where they're trying to make it to the postseason.
And why am I not surprised that the response that Major League Baseball had was, we don't want to talk about it. They said, if we avoid it, maybe it'll go away. Like, are we, I mean, I'd expect nothing less from Manfred, but come on. Like, I don't understand how you don't start having these conversations. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to rain. Thursday's going to be very wet. We have to find a way to fix this.
I saw one on the Weather Channel this morning. I believe somebody jokingly said biblical amounts of rain. I hate that I'm saying this, these words. Please don't clip this. In MLB's defense, whoa, I'm sure they've been talking about it. They just don't want to tell me what the plan is, which is fine.
Do they know who you are?
They should. Oh, if they don't, they should.
They know who Daddy is.
If they don't, they should.
They know who Lindsey Crosby is.
If they don't, they should. But no, it's just, to me, you need to be upfront with this. You need to be upfront and say, hey, we are aware. We are, if nothing else, just give me a PR statement. We are aware that weather is a concern for this series. We have been working on plans to ensure that all games will be played in a timely manner and the postseason can start as scheduled. You could always flip-flop a wild card game or something and say, hey, the NL is going to start on Wednesday instead of Tuesday maybe or something. There's something you can do, but to just be like, we can't talk about it right now. Officially, we're not going to have any comment. Like, come on. What are we doing here?
Well, I do want to talk about the games in particular, however yes, they do happen. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit on what has to happen for the Atlanta Braves. And speaking of that series with the Mets, it starts tonight in Atlanta, start of a three-game series. The game tonight and the game tomorrow can be heard right here on ESPN 106.7 on the local ESPN radio, both of them starting at 6 o'clock right after the drive, so be sure you stay tuned. No bigger games so far this year for the Braves, and both of those are going to be right here on ESPN 106.7, so keep that in mind starting at 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow. And we do have to mention that the Philadelphia Phillies made a little history. They won for the first time in a long time, and I don't mean a game. I mean the division. They did lock it up officially last night, right, Lindsey? They won the NL East. Philadelphia Phillies currently sitting at 93-64, and they've done something that has not been done in a long time. They took the crown away from Atlanta.
The last time the Phillies won the National League East was 2011. So
God,
they,
13 years.
13 that's
hard
years.
And I know Atlanta's dominated that, but that's hard to believe for the Phillies.
Yeah, it is something. The Mets have won it once. They made the World Series. The Nationals have won it four times since then, and all of the rest were Atlanta. Atlanta had a streak of six consecutive that is now obviously gone. But we saw the last couple years that Philly made it past Atlanta despite not winning the division. They made the World Series. They made the NLCS in back-to-back years. As a wild card, your two World Series teams last year were wild card teams. A sixth seed and a fifth seed played. And that's really kind of been the new story of baseball is winning the division. Not that it doesn't matter, right? You want the accolades, you want the merch, you want the celebration and all of that stuff. And having that bye still is something teams want, despite the 3 or 4 day layoff. But the most important thing in baseball right now is winning. You're in. Like, just get in and you have a chance. Mm-hmm. Because what people don't understand is the baseball format, where at most you're playing a 7-game series, lends itself to a lot of randomness. There was a scientific study done recently about how many games you would have to play in a postseason matchup for the statistically better team to win a majority of the time.
This ought to be good.
And
let me guess. Yeah. I'm going to say like 30. I'm guess 30. 30 okay. games. That's
Christian,
my guess.
Christian, over or under?
Oh, man. Is this Price is Right to where if he's over and I'm...
You're just giving me Vegas rules. Just an over, under,
we'll
on
go, yeah, you don't get both showcases, we'll bro.
You said 30.
I said 30.
30.
We'll go,
30.
We'll go over.
You would have to play a 55-game series
wow.
for the statistically better team to win a majority of the time, like guaranteed.
Like win the series or just win?
To win the series. Okay. To win the series, yeah. Like,
God, 55 games.
If you want it, and I think what they were doing was they were looking for the teams that they were going off of runs allowed and runs given up, or sorry, runs scored and runs allowed, to get what's called the Pythagorean win-loss, which is how your runs scored and runs allowed would translate into a winning record.
Sure.
Because that's very predictive.
Wow.
And for the team with the better Pythagorean to win like 75% of the time, you would have to play 55 games.
Gosh, man.
That's the amount of randomness that's in play. You can have three bad games at the plate and you're done. I mean, you can lose. The divisional series is best of five. The wild card is best of three.
Yeah.
And then it's only the CS and the World Series that are best of seven. And even then, you can be in a situation where you a couple guys have a bad game, one key injury or something. I'm thinking back to 2021, you lost Jorge Soler for the NLCS because of COVID. He tested positive for COVID. He missed the whole round.
God, I forgot about
now,
all that.
Now, Eddie Rosario stepped up and won MVP of the NLCS.
Right.
Soler came back for the World Series. But, like, just little things like that can just push the balance of power in a short series like that. And Billy Beane from Moneyball talked about this. He said, my stuff doesn't work in the postseason because it's such a small sample size and it's so dependent on you having good luck and your opponent having bad luck.
So not to go down this rabbit hole too much, I know we got to get to break here.
Right.
But does that, in terms of that conversation, does that make you a fan of wild card, DS, CS, and World Series all being seven-game series, or do you like them being limited and stepping up as you get bigger?
I like the idea of having seven-game series for each round.
Because that's how the NBA does it.
What I don't like is how long that would take. You would have to shorten the regular season to add in those extra games. Now, if MLB was willing to go back to 156 games or even 150, and this is that old, what's the third baseman for the Angels? The terrible one that is always hurt.
Rendon.
This is the old Anthony Rendon argument. The season's too long. If you would go to 150 games or 154 or 152 or something like that, give up a little bit of games, you could do seven games in each round, and it gives the better team a better opportunity to show out, as well as make you have to use more of your entire roster, right? You only need three starters in the postseason. Like, you play a best of three with the off days, you just need your three guys. Yeah. And it feels like that's not how you get through a regular season. It's a different animal. It's almost a different sport in the postseason.
Hmm.
It's like going from college to the NFL in the postseason. Like, things are different. And it should play the same, just with higher stakes.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, the NBA does that. NHL does that. They're all seven-game series from the very start all the way through. I like it that way. I feel like it's fairer. I feel like it's more balanced. But baseball is its own thing, and we know how they are. They're going to do what they do, and they're not going to answer to anybody else. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. Questions, comments, concerns, talking baseball. Lindsey Crosby joins us for our Baseball Power Hour. We're talking more Braves and the Mets as that series gets started tonight when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Our Baseball Power Hour continues. Lindsey Crosby in the studio with us. My man, plug everything you got going on. Tell people where they can find you, how they can find you, and why you are our baseball guy.
Oh my gosh. We are covering the sport of baseball in just about every possible way. So I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball, kind of the big hub there. Mostly Atlanta Braves stuff. We do talk about the league as a whole. But there's a couple shows you can listen to. First Pitch. Available wherever you get your podcast. That is a daily MLB recap show that we do. We also have Braves Today, a daily Atlanta Braves show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Braves writing, bravestoday.com. That is our Substack. I just dropped a state of the position shortstop piece yesterday, looking at Atlanta's options if you want to upgrade shortstop next season. And then going forward, and it doesn't look great. So you may have to trade for Nico Hoerner from the Cubs or something, because it's not pretty now.
Okay.
Well, go check it all out.
Well, we appreciate you plugging all that. And, of course, appreciate you being with us every Tuesday for our Baseball Power Hour. This conversation will probably carry into the next segment. But no matter how the games end up happening, right? Braves and Mets starting tonight, moving into tomorrow, of course, into Thursday as well. We had a big conversation on the weather thing, and we still just don't know what that looks like. But let's just look at the games themselves, Lindsey. What needs to happen here? What's on the line? What's at stake here for the Braves? For people that don't know or people that just need a reminder, tell them what's at stake right now in terms of the Braves-Mets series.
If you lose this series, your season ends on Sunday. Like, that's the simplest way to put it. You are a game and a half back of a wild card spot. New York is two games ahead of you. This is the season series between these two teams is not decided. If you beat the Mets for 2 out of 3, you are in the driver's seat to make the postseason. If you lose 2 out of 3 or get swept, your season is going to be over. And so that is where we are if you're the Atlanta Braves. If you want to play in October, you got to win probably 5 of the next 6 games. And if you don't want to play in October, you lose these games and go on vacation. That's fine. That's the stakes right here. This is your season.
And if you do, worst case scenario, if you do find a way to, because I guess you can't even, if you lose one of them, you're still gaining a game on the Mets, but then you're really becoming a big Padres fan, right?
Yep.
To try and hope that the Diamondbacks, because they've lost 2 straight, you hope that they continue to drop so that way you can jump in. And then worst case scenario, you'd be, I guess you'd jump to the second place, right? Because then you'd be one game over the Mets, or depending on how the Royals game goes. But if you're 5-1 or even 4-2, you got to hope for a lot with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, the more games you lose of the next 6, the more help that you need to get in. And I mean, like, and that's all it is, right? If you lose 2 games, you can still make it, provided that the Giants and then the Padres handle business against Diamondbacks. Like, you need help. And so the more games you win, the less help that you need. If you go 6-0, you are more than likely going to be in. But the official odds on Fangraphs this morning are under 50% that Atlanta makes it, because right now, possession is 9/10 of the law, and you do not possess a postseason spot as of right now.
It is, I mean, as bad as it is to say, it's also very good to say that you've played poorly throughout the course of the season. I feel like you could say it's very, very streaky, but with 6 games left, you quote-unquote still control your own destiny, and if you sweep and you finish 6-0, then you're in.
And here's the thing about this Atlanta team is they are playing better recently, right? If you go back and you look at this year, outside of the month of April, where they went 17-8, that's a .680 winning percentage. Outside of that, they've barely been over 500 in any month this year. August was 16-13. September is 11-9. Both of those are like .550.
Mm-hmm.
But I pulled this morning. If you listened to the Braves Today podcast, you would have heard it already, which was great. As of Saturday, August 10th through now, the Atlanta Braves have a winning percentage of .640. They have picked it up down the stretch. And when you look at individual performances in the last 30 days,
Matt Olson
is batting .347 with a 1.126 OPS.
Matthew Olson.
He is actually, I think, 1 homer and 2 RBI away from another 3,100 season, which his streak, I believe he has a streak of 3 consecutive 3,100 seasons.
3,100 being?
30 homers, 100 RBIs.
Yes.
He's 1 home run, 2 RBI away. His streak of 3 consecutive is already the longest active streak in baseball, right? So he's already holding the longest active streak. He can extend it to 4.
And why does that surprise me?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, that's a really weird.
So many other dudes just miss time. Guys, they miss time. Matt Olson literally has not missed a game with the Atlanta Braves. He has played every single game since the trade. His last time he sat out for a game was late in the year in 2021 in Oakland. He has passed Pete Rose for the most consecutive starts at first base in modern baseball history.
Huh. All right. How about that's that just blows my mind.
By the
it
way,
really does.
By the way, readers of BravesToday.com saw that in the takeaways the other day.
Boom.
That's
selfless
kind of,
plug.
It's kind of stuff that we do there. Yeah.
Well, let me say this before we get to break. Okay. I know the Braves control their own destiny at this point, right? That's the terminology that we use. And not that this is where you want to be. It goes back to that conversation of when it gets down to this point, you don't want to, especially for the Braves right now. If you win, you're in, which is what you said earlier. You start losing games, you leave your fate into other teams' hands, and that's the spot you don't want to be in. Other than just being completely eliminated, you don't want to sit around on a Friday night and think, man, we really need the Giants to win, or we need the A's. You know what I'm saying? You don't want that to be the case. But if there's any team that can get hot and win games in a row and streak some wins together down the stretch, it's this Atlanta team, and it's Atlanta in general. We've seen it time and time again.
Yeah, they've been capable of getting hot all year. They've gone on some heaters. You need another heater right now. Their longest streak this year, I believe, is 6, and it was in April. You need another 6-game winning streak right here.
We'll talk more about standings around the league, who's in, who's out, who's trying to get in, and who could fall out of the Major League Baseball postseason. Plus, since the last time we talked to Lindsay, history was made. We've got to talk about that when we come back as we roll on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man Jacob Goins with a voice that's still hanging on, Christian Griffin, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, and Lindsey Crosby from Braves Today. And we're still talking in our baseball power hour. Don't worry, we'll get to football in hour number two. Lots to get to on that side of things, but this is the most crucial time in the baseball season as the Braves are trying to make it to the postseason. They've got a series starting with the Mets. That is tonight. You can catch tonight and tomorrow's game on the radio, national ESPN broadcast right here on ESPN 106.7, both of those beginning at 6 p.m. A couple of things we need to get to on the national story scale here, Lindsay. Since the last time we talked to you, Shohei Ohtani made history. Shocker, I know, but he made history. And not only did he get, not only has he just been one of the most generational guys we've ever seen, but as I said, he made history. He did something that nobody else has ever done in the history of the league.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani went 6-for-6 with 10 RBI, 3 home runs, and for good measure, stole 2 bases in the same game. And the number of players who have done some of the, like, he picked up 17 total bases without hitting 4 home runs, which has never happened. He had 10 RBI without hitting 4 home runs. But, like, there's been people who have done a lot of the different elements of this. There's been guys who have gone 6-for-6. There have been guys who hit 3 home runs. There have been guys with 10 RBI. All of these things. Nobody has done all of this in the same game. And no player has done all of those things in individual games in their entire career. And Shohei Ohtani does it in one game.
And he was pretty quick on the base paths in that game, too, to complete everything, wasn't he?
Yeah, it blows my mind that, like, it's literally one of the greatest games that we have ever seen. And, one, it happened in Miami. Like, kind of a waste there, right? But he picked up a 50-50 season off of it and then kept going.
Right. And hasn't stopped.
Yeah,
So not only did he do something that's never been done, which is get 50-50, you believe it's possible he could get 60-60.
He's not mathematically eliminated. I'll put it that way. He has 55 steals, so he needs 5 in the next 6 games. He has stolen 5 bases in a 6-game span before. He has 53 homers, so he needs 7 home runs in a 6-game span. I do not believe Shohei has hit 7 home runs in a 6-game span before, but at this point, there is literally not a single thing on a baseball field you could tell me Shohei Ohtani could not do.
Yeah.
If a time traveler came to me and said, hey, do you know who just won the 2026 Super Bowl? Shohei Ohtani at quarterback, I'd be like, you know, you give him a year, he probably can do it at a pretty high level.
Put him in the right system, get the right guys around him, he can make it happen.
Exactly. Like, I genuinely do not have any sort of idea that there's anything on the baseball field he can't do.
So let me ask you guys this, and this is open to both of you and to our listeners. 334-321-1390 is the phone line, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. If he retired today, or at the end of this season, or, yeah, today. If he retired today, he came out and said, you know what? Made enough money, I'm going to go and bet on baseball for the rest of my life. Would he go down as the greatest individual player of all time? If he retired today, would he be the greatest of all time? No ring. He's got all the stats. He's got all the numbers, individual accolades. Does he go down as the greatest of all time?
Three MVPs in a four-season span and doing something that we have literally never seen before. Somebody at this high of a level doing both parts of it at the same time. There would be an argument, yes. Now, your traditional Hall of Fame arguments, a lot of those based off of round numbers. He doesn't have the round numbers. He doesn't have the longevity. But for sheer peak of dominance in the sport, it is hard for me to think of a four-year span of any player where they were as dominant on both sides of this as Shohei Ohtani. Like, I'll put it this way. In 7 years, he's batted .280 with 224 home runs and 141 stolen bases, while also having an ERA of 3. Like,
that's insane.
He's about to win his third MVP. He'll have a runner-up from last year as well as a top five Cy Young finish. And it's just, it's a combination of things that we have literally never seen done at the same time, ever, in baseball. And so there would be an argument that, yes, he is the greatest individual baseball player we've ever seen. I'm not saying everybody would buy that argument, but there would be an argument for it.
I think at the end of this year, too, you could add a lot more to that conversation, as this is his very first time playing in the postseason, which feels like a sin to even have to say. But you add a World Series ring onto that, or you add a World Series MVP onto that, or even a divisional or championship series MVP. I mean, even if you look at him from a standpoint of two different players, right? You look at him as a pitcher, and you're going, oh, when he's healthy, that's a top five pitcher in the league. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Him in the left-handed batter's box, that's a top three hitter in the league. It's the same person.
Yeah.
Putting together, obviously he did not throw on the mound this year, which they said is not out of the realm of possibilities for him to come in the postseason. I don't think so either, but even just to throw a couple innings.
Are you going to say Shohei can't do it?
Right. Would you go in there if, hey, Shohei, we need three outs in game six to shut it out.
Yeah, I think he could do it. All right, let's get some of our listeners' thoughts on this. 334-321-1390. Wes, you're on the line, my man. What's up?
Hey, I would say without a doubt, Shohei Ohtani should be in the Hall of Fame. And I get the fact that, you know, baseball, you got to wait, I think it's 5 years and all that kind of stuff, in case something happens, in case he pulls like a Barry Bonds, which doesn't make any sense. But without question, if he would have actually hit for the cycle instead of getting thrown out at third base, that would have been the greatest individual day for anyone of all time in any sport, without question.
In any sport, which is a huge statement, but it's not crazy. It's not crazy to say that.
No, it's not. No, in fact, for young people today, they could be looking at three GOATs. That would be Patrick Mahomes, perhaps, Shohei Ohtani, and even though I'm a MJ fan, I would still say LeBron's right there in the conversation.
Sure.
They're watching three of the in major sports at the same time.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and for somebody like my age, I mean, watching Tom Brady play in the NFL, right? I mean, gotten to see him, who is considered widely as the GOAT. Mahomes could get there. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But
you're
right. I mean, just seeing generational talent through major sports right now, Wes.
Right. And Shohei Ohtani, it's you know, I would always have considered Babe Ruth the greatest baseball player of all time simply because he pitched and he did not do it at the same time. And by the way, I wasn't around when he when he played. But
Daryl Dapper's was. Shut up, Daryl.
Reading everything about him, I mean, he was able to pitch. He was Shohei before Ohtani was Ohtani.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you're absolutely right.
And he's completely blowing that away. It's absolutely, it's unreal.
I like
absolutely
that.
Unreal.
Hey man, I appreciate your input on that. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Yeah, now, and he's right that Babe Ruth did do some of those things concurrently. His heaviest pitching years, 1915 through 1918, he started, I think, 135 or so games and had an ERA under, like, 2.5. So, you know, that is relevant. But at the same time, in that same stretch, he also didn't really have a ton of offensive success and power production. He didn't have his best homer year, or he didn't start getting those impressive homer years until he got to New York in 1920. And so he was predominantly a pitcher who also hit with Boston. And then he was a hitter who sometimes pitched with the Yankees. But yeah, I mean, he's right there with, like, Shohei Ohtani is going to go right there with Babe Ruth. Going to go right there with Hank Aaron and right there with Willie Mays for the best baseball players of all time. And he's the only one who was as good as he was at both. And that's it's insane to think about in this era of specialization where so many guys don't even get to bat against both lefties and righties, never mind playing both sides of the ball, which is a football term, obviously, but to not only do it, but to do it so well, I think is just the big differentiator to me. I think it'd be different if he was doing this in 1960, right? Like, if somebody was doing this in the 60s, was doing both this well, you'd be like, okay, because you still saw it's a different game back then. But the game's become so hard and so advanced right now where to do both at such a high level is amazing.
How cool is it, too, that Shohei Ohtani won the World Baseball Classic in Miami, striking out his former teammate,
Mike
Trout.
That ballpark,
and then now set history.
Most
people
do.
Hitter-wise. If the Dodgers ever, for some reason, or if he tries to work his way out, I mean, he needs to go play in Miami just to go and set every single record. I still think about Shohei, and it wasn't like his very first game hitting and pitching in the same game or whatever, but it was right when the Shohei Ohtani rule was made.
Right.
And where he almost threw an immaculate inning in the first inning, struck out the side with like a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, led off the top half, or led off the home half of the first inning and hit a 103-mile-an-hour fastball off the bat. Like, just ungodly numbers that even if one person was able to do, much less the same dude, the same game, and the same inning right after walking off the mound.
And before we go to break real quick, I do want to point out all of the, like, Shohei's kind of sucked the air out of the room. And there's been some other really good performances in baseball we're not even talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know the people, like, we know this, but Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians is three homers away from a 40-40 season. And I don't think anybody realized it because we're just amazed at what Shohei can do. Like, this dude might go 40-40 and finish in, like, fifth or sixth place in the Cy Young, in the MVP voting when any other year, 40-40 is like a lock for an MVP.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
It's just amazing.
Even just, I mean, Marcelo Zuna. You put a stat against a name like that, hitting .309. Has 38 home runs already, 101 RBIs, 181 hits on the season, and again has played in a majority, if not just about every single game for Atlanta. It's somebody like that that in a down year would more than win the MVP, but of course in a year like this, he's not even getting in a legitimate conversation for a postseason award.
It's a different era in baseball nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, and it's so much fun to watch, and this week is going to be so much fun to take in, and just how the players that are there, the teams that are there, and everything that's up for grabs, and we've had just so much fun talking about it. We do need to get to our final break here in hour number one. I know it's our baseball power hour, but Lindsay, you cover a little football too. We'll get your thoughts on everything happening, and if there happens to be anything Auburn baseball-wise, is there any updates on that side of things?
They're doing some live ABs. We got a little bit of nugs out of there, some good stuff going on with impressive position players. I'll put it that way.
Ah, perfect tease as we take our final break in hour number one. We'll wrap up our baseball power hour with Lindsey Crosby after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Also wrapping up our baseball power hour. Lindsey Crosby, he's with us every Tuesday. We've talked a lot of Major League Baseball. Updates around Auburn baseball real quick, Lindsey, for those that are interested in that. Man, I've been over there at least once a week, and I've been over there every week with football and press conferences and things like that. And the additions at Plainsman Park really starting to take set now. It's a massive concrete structure now instead of just metal everywhere. I mean, looking really, really good there at Plainsman Park.
Yeah, the goal obviously is to have everything ready to go in time for the spring, so they'll be doing some of their scrimmages and fall ball through all of the construction. Not a big deal, but no, they are really excited, and there's a lot of reason to be excited. The guys are doing live at-bats right now, so pitchers facing hitters and live action, and we've seen some really impressive performances. Bub Terrell, Demarion Terrell's a guy who didn't get a ton of attention out of the draft class. Number one outfielder in the state of Alabama, out of Thompson High School. We know those dudes are always... Thompson's a good program, right?
Sure.
6'3", 224. He's got football size, played some football too. The Blue Jays took him in the 19th round, and they were pretty confident he'd make it to campus, and he did. He had, this is Friday, I got this note, went deep twice out of four at-bats against live pitching.
How about that?
He hit two homers to right, 405, 417 is the distance, hit a double the opposite way, something where he was putting up exit velocities that were, and granted, metal bat versus wood bat, but 90th percentile exit velocities higher than the MLB average. MLB average on what they call EV90, which is the hardest 10% of your swings, is 102.9. His 90th percentile EV so far in fall is 104.8. So he's hitting the ball harder on average than MLB players do. His zone contact has been really good. He's been really, really not passive at the plate, but really selective at the plate. He's not chasing a ton. He's not expanding the zone, but in the zone, over 80% contact in the zone. And the way it was put to me was that this might be something where he needs to play every day as a freshman. Like, that they may be at this point because he's so explosive. He's so fast. He's kind of a freak, like just physical freak, right? And you're all of a sudden, even after losing Chris Stanfield to the transfer portal and graduating a bunch of outfielders, you may have more outfielders in spots. Like, you may be back in that situation again where, you know, they played Ike Irish in a corner once a week last year, or once a weekend.
Right.
You may not have the room to do that, but you've also got a couple catchers. Like, they're just, it's a good problem to have more guys in spots right now, and they've got to figure out who's going to go where, but there's a lot to like from this, from these additions.
Well, what I was going to say was that I know that excites Auburn fans offensively, but should they be worried pitching-wise, if we're hearing good, great things about selective hitters? I mean, that sounds like this dude's just a stud, but we know that that's been a major concern, and it's been a major problem for that last handful of years.
Yeah, and they've gotten – so what's great is they now have an analytics Twitter account, something I've been asking the program to do for a while now, and they finally did it. And some of the standouts so far in fall have been pitchers. They've been getting really great performances, and some of the guys haven't necessarily been mind-blowing in their stats, but the results are great. Abe Chancellor had a 22-pitch outing, did not give up a single hit, was mixing in a changeup and a slider along with a fastball, and the fastball wasn't ridiculously impressive from a velo standpoint. He's sitting right over there around 89-90.
Okay.
But nobody's hitting it. It's just...
He's
getting greater than MLB levels of, like, you know, right up in the zone. Nobody's touching the thing, and it's like, you know, at a certain point, a dude's just a dude. It doesn't matter how hard he throws.
I mean, you can't be mad at him if he is doing his job.
Exactly. I mean. And then Baseball America just came out with some of their best, their top draft prospects for next year, and Auburn had two guys on the list, and Ike Irish and lefty Cade Fisher, the transfer out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got some studs, And it looks like some of the depth is coming together a little bit better than it has in the past.
There you go. So there's a little bit of an Auburn baseball update for you as we are wrapping up this baseball power hour. Got a minute or two, Lindsay. And as on our way out, as we will be transitioning into football coming up in hour number two, I know you got thoughts. I know you've been watching. I know you hop on different podcasts. I know you're on with Zach for Locked On Auburn. Your thoughts quickly on Auburn 2-2 so far this season in terms of football with Hugh Freeze.
I feel like the offense is there other than the turnovers. Right. When you watch, I mean, this team, like, they're sixth in the FBS in yards per play. They're getting over 8 yards a play. They're 13th in passing yards per attempt. They're 14th in rushing yards per carry. Now, granted, you played two bad defenses in Alabama State and New Mexico. You take them out, it's still a top 30 overall offense, just seeing your two Power Five opponents. The issue is the turnovers. If you can fix the turnovers, I feel like this offense is better than what the results will have shown you over the first 4 weeks, right? This is not a 2-2 offense. Granted, fix the turnovers is easier said than done. But this is a quality team. At a certain point, I think the coaching staff's adjustment they can make is stop trying to force the pass and call more dedicated runs versus run pass options that teams are intentionally stacking the run aspect of it. So you check out and you pass. Because it feels like opposing teams are fine with us passing because of the turnovers. And if you can do more running, that gives you opportunities to get guys open. You're not throwing into coverage and throwing the interceptions. So fix the interceptions. I feel like this is a much different team than what you've seen. And if the interceptions are just minimized, not even eliminated, just minimized, I feel like you probably go 4-0 in those first four games.
He's more than baseball, ladies and gentlemen. Lindsey Crosby, plug it all one more time, my man. We always enjoy having you in the studio. Baseball Power Hour wrapping up. Tell everybody where they can find you and all your wonderful coverage.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. The written work, BravesToday.com. The podcast, Braves Today and First Pitch. And the writing, again, BravesToday.com. That's my baby.
I assume you're not going to make the trip to Atlanta and get rained on, huh?
Nope. Staying here. Do not want to get rained on.
I don't blame you at all. Man, we appreciate you, and hopefully we can bring you in for several more weeks throughout postseason play. Yep. We'll know this time next week. We'll know exactly what's going to happen, so we'll talk to you then. We'll have more baseball power hours coming up. Speaking of hours, we got hour number two coming up where Christian and I are talking all things football, Auburn, college, you name it. We got it. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, Lindsey Crosby just walked out of here from Braves Today and BravesToday.com, also the First Pitch podcast. He's with us most Tuesdays for our baseball power hour, so lots that we went over there. Had some Auburn baseball coverage, lots of Atlanta Braves talk as they are starting a series with the New York Mets this week for basically to get into the playoffs. Is the easiest way to say that. And so I talked a lot about that, talked about Shohei Ohtani again as he made history and really catapults himself into the GOAT conversation. So all of that was in hour number one with Lindsey Crosby. If you missed any of it, you can go and listen back to the podcast version of the show. We just take the show every day, post it to our station website, ESPNAU.com, and you can go back and listen to that. Here in hour number two, Still asking you to hang on with me, man. I am. This is as high as I got. This is as much energy as I can give you because my voice is about to give out. But thankfully, I got Christian Griffin with me in the studio for the second hour. Voice of Lee Scott. He's with me as we're going to be talking a lot of football here in hour number two. And before we get into content, I want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour each and every day. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. And you're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
This is the Rain Man.
What's going on, my man? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How's everyone in Tigerland doing after this last Saturday's football game?
Well, I think you probably know the answer to that one, my friend. It's been up and down is the best way to say it.
I tried to warn everybody. I think me and the expert picker guy both tried to tell you that it wasn't looking good for us. We took a lot of flack for it. So I'm calling this week to try to help you guys out a little bit.
Okay.
If you don't want to end up sitting up in the bleachers, giving some sort of shameful display of crying and weeping, looking like an embarrassment on ESPN's not top 10, I'm going to tell you some things that will help you. I told you last week they ran the ball better and controlled the clock better and were more effective on offense. And I broke apart the non-Power 5 Division 1 AA team and the one good teams that we both played, and I studied our numbers a little bit, and I threw some things at you. One of the things I pointed out was time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that their time of possession averaged 32 minutes, and ours averaged 22. Do you happen to know what they turned out to be in the actual head-to-head matchup?
From the game on Saturday?
Yes, sir.
I don't have the number off the top of my head. I don't.
I'll tell you, 36 minutes and 36 seconds to 23 minutes and 24 seconds.
It's pretty lopsided, my man.
Pretty lopsided. I also pointed out that they ran 78.5 plays a game to our 61.5 plays a game. Do you happen to know where they finished and where we finished in that category?
I do not.
We hit 61 thanks to the 8 plays they just gave up to us at the end of the game to run out the clock right at our number. They ran 83.
Which is,
I pointed out that we didn't get a lot of field goals. And I was told, well, we just score so many touchdowns so fast. That's why we don't get field goals. Another thing that'll prevent you from getting field goals is turnovers. First and 10 from the 29, interception. First and 10 from the Arkansas 27, interception. Got the ball at the 36. We break a run to the goal line. We fumble it. Those are times when you don't get points that could have been points. Interceptions will prevent you from kicking field goals, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you're saying that's untrue. Everything you said is spot on, and it's accurate. And I think what's important here, and we appreciate the call, man. I know you've been waiting for baseball to get through and for you to call in here in hour number two. And look, there's no secret to what you've been saying, and there's no secret that it's not true. I mean, it's all a fact, right? Auburn has shot itself in the foot so bad in these two losses, and turnovers are the big one, right, Christian? I mean, that's been the thing that has gotten people so frustrated so many times is the turnovers. And look, we'll get to the freeze quote from last night from Tiger Talk, but just overall to what Rain Man was saying, I mean, you have time of possession dominance, you have turnover lopsided, and those two things lead to losses in your season. It's pretty plain and simple.
Well, it's exactly what we've talked about countless times of how you get X amount of possessions per game. I think this year in college football, it's 8. I think each team gets an average of 8 possessions per game. So if you capitalize and you scored a touchdown on all 8 of those drives, you'd have 56 points. Granted, that is hit or miss, and that skews depending on how the entire game goes as a whole. But you go 3 and out, or you turn the ball over on the first or the second play of a drive, all of a sudden that's giving the other team 9 possessions and you have 7. And so when you think about when Auburn has 4 or 5 turnovers a game, you're putting yourself where you have the ability to have 3, 4, possibly 5 drives that can actually be capitalized with points. And we've talked all about how good the offense is, how Their yards per play is top 10. They're first in the SEC in rushing yards per attempt. But when you have the turnovers on top of everything, there's zero ability to get anything going on the offensive side of the football, and it just makes it to where, I mean, your defense feels like you're having to go out there and offense, just give us a first down or two so we can catch our breath.
Let's get to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390. You can get in on there or our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Ed, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Listen, I'm going to just kind of chime in a couple of things. Number one, who is the guy that's Art? I know we've got the Ken Austin, and who is the guy that's yabba dabba doing with the quarterbacks every time the young guy that's on the sideline that's just, you know, who is that? Do y'all know?
I'm not sure what you're asking or what you're getting at.
You've watched the games when the quarterbacks come off the field and there's a young guy that's just yabba dabba doing. I call it I can't understand. It's like he's trying to teach him the playbook. It happened twice this weekend. Y'all don't watch between plays, I guess. But yeah, I was wondering who he was. I thought y'all would just know off the top of your head.
I don't. I mean, no, I don't typically. I watch free sometimes, but no, I don't typically stare at the quarterbacks when they sit on the sideline while the game's going on. So I don't know. I don't know.
It very easily could just be the offensive.
They're showing this on TV.
Well, I'm at the games, Ed.
Yeah, okay. I understand. Well, yeah, I was just wondering who that was because it seems to me like he needs to. It seems like he's in a Chinese fire drill. He's just. Peyton Thorne after, you know, interception, he was just, I don't understand. Let me ask you.
Ed, looks like we lost you. You disconnected on me. Call us back, and we'd love to have you on, 334-321-1390. You disconnected on us. Call us back. We want to hear from you.
If I had to guess, it's possibly Jeff McDaniels, who is the offensive analyst for
sure.
Auburn on the sideline.
I mean, I know who that is, but right. Again, I haven't seen it, so I can't speak on it. So I don't know. But to what he was saying, I mean, if he's getting on the quarterbacks, I mean, he's got a reason to get on the quarterbacks, does he not? I mean, the play has been abysmal in the two losses, and you started Hank Brown, who I got a text about a quote that I had not seen. I got a text that said Hank Brown's quote before the game on Saturday. Yeah. He said, "I'm ready to dominate Arkansas," says that Doug and I have talked about how humble he is, and he's asking where the humbleness is now. I'll admit, I had not seen that quote. I looked it up. I found it. Don't worry. I found it. I thought he was very humble a week ago, but I also thought he was very... I didn't say cocky, but I said he was very confident. He was he had some swag is what I said. He had a little bit of swagger, if you will. And I did not see this quote. I see it now. And it says, quote, "It's encouraging, but I think I got a lot to build on from this week. I love when the competition level is raised. That's when I'm playing my best. I'm excited for SEC play, and I'm excited to dominate Arkansas." That is... That's a quote right there. And I like the confidence. I like the swagger part of that. Does that come off a little arrogant and cocky? Yeah, it does, especially when you don't back it up, Christian, especially when you get benched after throwing three first half interceptions and the guy you replaced has to come back in and try to save the day. Like, yeah, that's a quote that it's the common occurrence. If it works out, it's great,
yeah.
But if you don't back it up, you're going to get drugged, and that's exactly what's happening.
I feel like it's one of those quotes because, again, we didn't hear about it at all before the game. I saw it flash up on the TV as soon as Auburn took the field for the very first time.
Said it was an ESPN graphic.
And right, and so that's why I almost feel like it was something that was – and this is complete speculation. This is my opinion. Feels like it was almost something that was more informal rather than my mouth is to the microphone. I'm going to say that I'm ready to dominate Arkansas. It was much more of just maybe a post-game locker room thing or a pre-game locker room. And
this
wasn't
his interview with Taylor Davis, was it? His post-game interview with Taylor Davis? That's the only interview I saw him do with ESPN.
And that's what I'm saying. And that was never said on anything like that. So that's why I feel like that was much more of an unprofessional setting where something like that was said, to where, again, if it works, it works. But since it didn't, I feel like it's taken a little bit more than it more than with the grain of salt, which is, I feel like, what it should be taken with. That being said, Auburn's not doing their best with making a bunch of quotes right now.
No, quotes have, I mean, opening their mouth has been pretty terrible. And a lot, all of these decisions that are great if they work, but they're sad if they don't. I'm tired of Auburn being in that spot, but that's where we are right now. 334-321-1390. JR, you're on the line, my man. Maybe. No? All right. Nope. All right. Well, I guess we'll get to them in just a second. But I just, in all of this, and I know we have more to get to, phone calls to get to, and comments to get to. It's just, in this type of a game, you had to show up and play well. And I continue to go back to the quote of Hugh Freeze saying, "We are not in a position to play poorly and win football games." And everybody wants to highlight the turnovers, which is true here. It is. But you can't go out and say, if we play Arkansas 10 more times or 9 more times, we beat them all the other times. Like, that quote is absurd. That's absurd to say. It's ridiculous to say. And it doesn't benefit anybody. It doesn't help anything. You're just riling people up for no reason. And you're trying to make yourself feel better is what you're trying to do.
That is, yes. Plain and simple, that is exactly what that is. We'll talk a lot more about that coming up, because I got a lot more than 1 or 2 minutes can cover from that standpoint.
Sure. Let's do that. Let's get to break. I know we got a couple of phone calls to get to as well. You can be a part of it, 334-321-1390. Back after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7, 334-321-1390. Ed, believe we got you back now, my man. You got disconnected from us. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
and,
cool.
Hold on just 1 second. Turn my radio off. What I was about to say was, on defense, you've got a front seven that I'm not going to say cannot, but has not and doesn't seem to have the want to really give you what you need up front. You've got the other four in the back that we're hearing, they're just not there, and we're thin. Why aren't you blitzing every down? When you got, everybody knew that Taven Green was going to be a problem, except for, obviously, Auburn. Can y'all explain that to me?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a legitimate question, Ed. I do. And I think the concern there is, with a quarterback like Green, yes, if you bring a lot of pressure, you have a good chance to get him. But if you don't, then you're so extremely thin past that first line of defense, right? If he just finds any sort of a hole, he's just going to scramble and beat you really bad. Now, I know he still had big explosive plays. Most of those were when the play initially broke down.
I mean, obviously what we did didn't work, okay?
I mean,
we're in agreement. What we did is what you're saying. That didn't work.
I mean, his stat line was 12 of 27, a touchdown and two interceptions.
Don't do that again.
I didn't hate what
Auburn did. I'm saying line up and blitz somebody. You're not going to cover them anyway. You've got to do something to stop what's beating you.
I mean, Auburn had 3 sacks on Saturday.
How many rushing yards did the guy have? How many?
81 on 18 carries.
Six third downs of 10 yards or more, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is not working, okay? So don't say, well, what? Okay, no, you don't do the same thing over and over. I'm sorry, but Auburn has got to do something different on defense. As far as when they've got a mobile quarterback, they've got to put somebody back there. Now, Keldrick Fox doing the best he can. Auburn's got some young guys. You know, they got a young guy from Tuskegee, Joe Phillips, number 31. He's going to redshirt this year, but at least he'd be back in the backfield going after somebody. I don't see – where's Austin Keys been this year?
Hitting people out of bounds late. That's what he's doing. I mean, just I get what you're saying, Ed. I do. I totally get it. And what Auburn
is, you've
got
to do something different. You can't, when you know you've got them. And okay, we're going to face one. And hey, let me just say this. I am predicting Auburn to win this game this weekend. I am one of the few people I know.
Against Oklahoma,
I predict I think Auburn's going to win this game. I really do.
Okay.
But I'm not anti-Auburn. I'm not. But you got it. And what you're talking about with Hugh Freeze, I am sick of him, you know, making excuses and throwing people and all the just shut up. Just shut up until you got something to talk about. And you know, don't be throwing people, and don't be. He's getting on my last nerve.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that one, Ed. We appreciate you calling in, my man. Sorry we got disconnected, but glad we were able to get you back on here. 334-321-1390. And we're going to get to Terry in just a second. Would you like to respond? Because I get where he's coming from.
Yes, and I do. And I very much do as well. That being said, if you're blitzing 6, 7, 8 guys, you have to play man-to-man defense doing that. You can't play a zone with 3 defensive backs. Otherwise, the entire middle of the field is wide open to be dumped off to where you can just hit the underneath route the entire time, which is mentally what you saw against Cal. And that is just abysmal. That is mental torture right there, and physical torture,
right,
having to watch that. Auburn is not at the point right now, because of how young our secondary is, to be able to put those guys on islands
in one-on-one situations.
Right, that's
because
what I'm saying.
They've proven they just can't do it.
So you're having to drop more back in coverage and play more zone, which I'm not a big zone guy. I don't love playing it, especially with a young backfield, because there's so much more room for confusion rather than I'm going to get you and try and make you not catch the football.
Right.
But the more guys you send at the quarterback, especially a mobile quarterback, if you're not playing contain, the more you send at a quarterback, the less is in that line, less is in the backfield. And so if you're playing man-to-man coverage, sending 8 guys, playing man-to-man with the other 3 receivers, those receivers can just run go routes. Cornerbacks have their backs facing them. All of a sudden, you look back and Taylen Green is 25 yards downfield.
And I agree with this text that I just got to in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. It says offense had 5 turnovers. Defense was on the field the entire game.
And gave up 24 points. In college football, even if you don't turn the ball over, 24 points in today's college football should win you a football game. If that is all that you give up defensively.
Which I completely agree with, but I think we can also agree that the scoreboard doesn't tell the whole game. I think
no.
The Cal game shows that. I think the Arkansas game shows that. Third and longs, those cannot happen. There are several ways to fix those. Those are different breakdowns. Those are deep safeties coming up to make a tackle where they're not supposed to be coming up. Freeze has said that for weeks now.
Ball watching.
Yeah, ball watching, and let me go help my friend rather than stay where I'm supposed to be. But at the end of the day, the scoreboard is what we judge on.
Yeah.
And the defense did their job on the scoreboard and held them to 24 points. You don't turn it over 4 or 5 times, yeah, you probably win the game. It comes down to that.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. This isn't 2007 SEC football anymore where it's a 10-7 game. Your quarterback's going 5 of 11 and you're handing the ball off 27 times a game. If your defense only allows 24 points in a conference game, or 21 points to an out-of-conference opponent, you should win a football game. I'm just saying, that is the plain and simple, that is the bare minimum, that you should be able to have 3 drives to find the end zone.
Let's get to Terry. He's been holding on. You got a few minutes, my man. How are you?
Great, guys. How's it going?
Doing good. You sound like I do.
Yeah, well, I'm fighting with it. It stinks. But why can't people accept
Did we lose Terry? Goodness gracious. Terry, if you're still there, hold on. Oh, there we go. We got you again. Go ahead.
Okay. Offense is the problem at Auburn. Always has been, always will be. That is the problem. Christian, I hear what you're saying. It's a great point. But if you only score 14 points in today's game, that's a problem too.
Very much so.
And I don't know why people refuse. Let me tell you this, guys. If Auburn plays Peyton Thorne on Saturday against Oklahoma, I can guarantee a loss. Because he will just do the same thing, take sacks, throw interceptions. The same thing. This is a fifth-year senior, guys. This is not a guy that's a rookie. This is not a guy that's learning. This is a guy that's a fifth-year senior. He knows the game.
Even after his second-half performance Saturday?
He's gotten.
even after his second half performance where he came in and gave Auburn the only two touchdowns they scored. I am pushing back on you a little bit, but I'm just questioning Terry, just out of curiosity.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, but at the same time, those touchdown passes, Jacob, Christian, was that more Peyton Thorne or Keandre Lambert-Smith?
I mean, I guess both.
Well, both. I mean, he couldn't have got the ball without Peyton Thorne.
I think Peyton made some good throws. I thought he made some good decisions.
He also threw an interception and took a sack like he always has.
That's also true.
And we'll continue to do. The bottom line is they made a bad choice, and now they're getting called on it. The bottom line is this staff, this coach, who I'm a fan of, you know that, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
They are paying the price for the last 2 years of Malzahn's tenure at Auburn and the worst hire that school has ever had. The problem down there is offense. It's going to continue to be offense. It always has been. It's going to be a problem. And then they won't accept it. I know the defense, the third and longs were driving me nuts. A touchdown on 3rd and 19. My goodness gracious, a lifetime. I see your point. But a defense, and now today's game, the defense feeds off a great offense. And Auburn, how long has it been since Auburn even had a good offense?
2017,
2019. I mean, that this offense can't even get out of its own way. I am sick and tired of the 3 and outs.
Yep.
And that's all they are, is 3 and out.
And it comes back to giving the defense something to defend, right, Terry?
Exactly.
I'm with you.
And if you're not moving the ball and letting them sit over there and rest, a defense can't be good. Please remember that. Please remember that, people. When an offense is going 3 and out constantly, the defense is on the field 99% of the time, they can't get any rest. They're not going to be any good, guys. It's as simple as that. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And no, Terry, and I 100% agree with what you were saying, and that was the point that I was kind of taking with the defensive side of the football is if you only allow that many points, you should win a football game, but it's impossible when you have a long drive, you force a field goal on the defensive side. It feels like a win. You bend, but you don't break. Then all of a sudden the offense gets the ball, and two plays later you find yourself back on the field on the plus side of the territory. Then all of a sudden, yeah, you're throwing your arms up because you say you give up a touchdown. It feels like at times there's 22 players on defense for Auburn. It feels like the offense is playing defense.
Again, give them something to defend.
Give them.
Like, you can only get up and go out and give it your all so many times before the human brain and your emotions and your heart lets you get demoralized.
And even just from the standpoint of Jordan Hare being a factor. On offense, Jordan Hare is not as much of a factor, right? Obviously, you go crazy off of big plays, but then you hush. You let the offense call the play and you watch. On defense, you're allowed to just lose your mind. But those two have to feed off of one another. The offense has to bring the energy to allow the defense to feed off of.
Look in the history of Auburn football. The history of Auburn football. What did all of the greatest teams, you start naming years, naming teams, naming those accomplishments, what did they all have? They had a quarterback. They had a quarterback that could play. They had a dude, a difference maker, at the most important position on the field. And to Terry's point, Auburn doesn't have that.
No.
Auburn doesn't have that. They had a chance, and they didn't do it. Hugh Freeze thought he did, but he was wrong. And now, as Terry said, Auburn's paying the price. Mike, you're going to be first up when we come back, my man. Hold on through the break. You will be first up when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. Christian Griffin joining me in the studio as he does every single Tuesday. Let's get to the phone lines once again, 334-321-1390. Mike, we appreciate you holding on. You're on the line.
No problem, Jacob. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, man. You doing all right?
I'm doing outstanding. Look here, I remember back, this is going to tell my age, when Coach Jordan and Coach Bryant done shows together.
Yeah.
That's how far I go back.
Oh, old-timer, that's what we call those. You've seen a few things in Auburn football history, my man.
Auburn and Alabama. And if anybody thinks that this team is going to win the next three football games, which I got tickets to, they are bad wrong.
You don't think Auburn has a chance to win any of their next three?
No. Because they have no offense whatsoever. And it's the awfulest mess I've ever seen. But I'm going to Tuscaloosa with my daughters to see that game because my daughters went to school in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, you're going this weekend?
Yeah, for the Georgia game.
That'll be a good one.
But I'm a retired Army man. But that mess that they got over there, look, he was a one-hit wonder at Ole Miss. He had A.J. Brown, and I can't even think of the name of that other wide receiver that they bought.
D.K. Metcalf.
Metcalf. And, see, he was a one-hit wonder. And he beat Nick Saban two times, and Auburn thought it ain't happening. Because the whole world has changed since then. NIL, which I'm all for, I'm for as much money as you can give them, just pour it to them. And because these athletes deserve it. And I live here in Auburn, mm-hmm. and I love living here, and I love going to all the sports. I go to basketball and baseball games and everything else they have here.
Right.
But that mess that they putting on the field with him is absolutely awful.
Well, here's what's crazy about it, Mike, is the fact that I don't think NIL, transfer portal, any of that, I don't think that's the issue, right? I mean, Freeze has been very, very active there and recruiting. Like, those things have been happening. It's just the execution of what's happening in front of our eyes on the field. That's what has people so riled up.
How many of them you think he's going to keep?
I don't know. I guess it depends. Well, a lot of them are going to graduate. You got to think there's quite a few upperclassmen.
No, I'm talking about the ones that he bought in that they gave money to.
The recruits.
People give them money.
Well, that's a great question. That's one of the million-dollar questions, Mike. We just don't know. Unless,
well, look here. You know, I love your show, and you're a good man. I met you once, and you're a fine fella.
Well, I appreciate
that. You have a great day, and it was good talking to you.
I appreciate it, Mike. I hope you have a great day as well. 334-321-1390. Appreciate the kind words. And, Christian, you can hear the frustration with Auburn fans because this is not a one-off situation. This is not a rare occurrence. This is every single year. And I think I can speak for almost every Auburn person out there. It just seems like an endless cycle. The Auburn fans continue to ask, when will it end? When will the nightmare go away? When will we wake up and be okay? And we thought this year could be it. We thought the first four games could be it, could be promising, could be building to something greater. And here we are, and it's been embarrassing. And on top of that, you've got a head coach who not only can't seem to figure out what's going on, he also is saying all of the absolute wrong things. Saying the wrong things to the fan base, to the players, to the administration, to anybody, I guess, that's willing to listen. And that's just fuel to the fire.
It very much is. Referring to the quote, yeah, was it last night?
Last night
with talking about Arkansas and Sam Pittman. I'm trying to find the exact quote, but here it is. Quote, I love Sam Pittman and I hope he wins the rest of his games. But I'm telling you, the hard truth is if we play Arkansas nine more times, we'd beat them nine times. And that's what's hard to take. Huh. Well, okay.
You can believe that all you want.
Yeah. But you're 0-1 against them this year.
And you're 0-1 in the only game that mattered against them.
And the only one that actually took place in your stadium this year, the one that was actually scheduled, not the nine mental games, the nine mental wins that you give yourself. You're still 2-2 right now, unfortunately. And I know that this is something that we've talked about for the past couple years. We joke about the Jabba and everything, but that's it to a T. In my opinion, that is the just Auburn being Auburn in a negative way mentality to a T, where we should have had them. We should have had them, and I think if we did it again, we'd beat them.
Should have, could have, would have.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's the bare minimum. That is exactly what it is.
But and that's such an exhausting way to live.
It is.
It's an exhausting way to think.
But it's unfortunate because that's become the norm, the mentality norm of Auburn beat Alabama in 2013 with the prayer at Jordan Hare and then the kick six. Auburn basketball made it to the Final Four in 2019. Okay.
Now what?
Yeah.
Now what?
Do it again.
And I'm with you, and fans, I feel like, want to get out of that, but it's the easy fallback mentality because we thought it was going to change, right? We thought it would change with Gus, and for a while it did, and then it went right back to it when he went to mediocre. We thought, okay, let's go get somebody that has nothing to do with Auburn, that has never even stepped foot in Auburn, that doesn't even know Auburn existed. We thought it would change. I thought it would change. I personally sat on this show and thought it could change and thought it was a good idea. That didn't happen. And then we thought, okay, we went and got ourselves a coach. We went and got Hugh Freeze, who knows how to win, who knows how to recruit, who has beat the GOAT multiple times. And we thought that mentality would change. And here we are, year one, it is what it is. Year two, though, the year that you're supposed to take a step, the year that you're supposed to move forward with building a program and the constant rebuild that Auburn's been in since however long ago. And now you're 2-2. And when this team has faced adversity, and I'll say I like Hugh Freeze a lot. I've worked with him. I've dealt with him. I've covered him. And he's been awesome to be a part of and be around and cover doing what I do. But, man, this is disappointing to see him and this staff fall into this trap, this Auburn mentality trap. It's exhausting. And I thought it would change. And here we are in adversity in 2024, and it's the same old song.
With the legitimate reality of 2-4 in the, going into the bye week, or 2-5 possibly, once you're 7 games in, when there was a legitimate topic of conversation of
5-0.
Can Auburn go 5-0? And then at that point, can Auburn win 8-9 games possibly? It's absolutely exhausting to have to go through that year in and year out. The only comparison that I can think of, and I've seen it on social media a little bit, is the Eli Drinkwitz kind of scenario of, and I think that's where Auburn is hoping everything can go. His first year at Missouri went 6-7. His second year at Missouri went 6-7. Third year, 11-2 last year, and now you're off to a 4-0 start. So if there is hope for everything, which you hear about the stereotype of you got to give a coach 3 years or 4 years, that's kind of what happened in this scenario. And I guess if you're an Auburn fan, it's kind of what you're clinging to this year because, I mean, if you're going and looking at the rest of the gauntlet SEC schedule that Auburn has to go through, I mean, how many more W's are you giving yourself? Auburn was projected 6.5 to start the year. And we're projected to be 4-0 at this point right now. So if you're taking that with a grain of salt, or you're taking that with what it is now, all of a sudden you're 2-2, odds makers would give you 4.5 wins. Are you confident in that?
I'll leave it open to interpretation. 334-321-1390. Matt, you're on the line.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I've got a couple of points I just want to make, and I'm kind of piggyback off what Christian was talking about.
Yeah, shoot.
Did any of us expect Auburn to go 10-2, 11-1, 12-0? No,
not realistically. No.
Yeah, and I was in the, you know, I was leaning more towards the 8-4 camp. Hugh Freeze. Couple of things about him. I agree with where he's at. And things he has said, and I kind of agree with you know some of the backlash he's caught. However, in today's day and age, these kids coming up, they are full fledged part of the everybody gets a trophy generation. These kids wanted NIL. These kids wanted to get paid while on scholarship, mind you. They're getting six figures worth of goodies and benefits for 3, 4, 5 years, however long they're at school. You know, all of the sweet, sweet Auburn gear that they get is free. I have to go pay, you know, $50, $60, $80 for a shirt. They get it for free. All of these responsibilities or the perks and benefits they wanted come with responsibilities. These kids now need to understand if they are getting paid, they are under the microscope. They get to get ridiculed. They get to get criticized. Okay, if you are getting paid, to me, you are no longer an amateur. You're a pro, so you better dadgum catch the ball. You better hold on to the ball, and you better put the ball on the target that it belongs to. Yes, Hugh Freeze and the coaching staff are responsible for setting up the game plan and putting these kids in a position to succeed, which I'll be honest with you, from what I have seen in the first four games, the game plan has not been terrible.
No.
I have seen a lot of opportunities, but I have seen a lot of opportunities blown because a ball was put in the wrong spot or a ball was you know, ripped out of somebody's hand or, oops, we don't want the touchdown. Let's just give it to you while I'm crossing the goal line. No, you guess what? You get paid now, you get to get criticized and ridiculed. Hugh Freeze is not throwing these kids under the bus. He has accepted responsibility, and he has made the comment, we as coaches need to do a better job coaching.
Right.
However, when he does say something about the kids, he's right, because guess who's not in between the white lines making the plays? Him and his coaching staff.
Right.
They draw up the game plan, they call the plays, but the kids are the ones that are responsible for making the plays. And if you're getting paid this amount of money, you're no longer kids, you're grown up adults. So suck it up and handle the criticism that you get. This is what you asked for, and this is what you wanted.
Boom. I love it. I love it, Matt. I do. And I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way you do. I think there's a lot of people that fall into that category of we're moving into a newer generation, a newer era of athletics where, yes, we do have to remember we're still talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds, but you want the fame, you want the glory, you want the money aspect of it. Yeah, fans are going to have higher expectations because it's now coming out of their paycheck. It's coming out of their bank account. So I'm sure you're one of those people, Matt. I mean, I totally understand.
Yeah, I'm I wish Uncle T was there today. Me and him are around the same age, so I grew up in the Pat Dye era, and I remember watching these grown men as a little kid, watching these grown men play ball, and if Pat Dye saw something he didn't like, he let them know it.
Right.
And these kids today just can't handle the ridicule and criticism because, let's face it, they're soft. And if you're going to get paid, you can't be soft anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I am. Matt, we appreciate you listening. Appreciate the call, brother.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good.
You too. Thanks so much.
I think it's a segment that not – I actually think that he's in the minority with it. I think it's a growing minority, but I think it is a minority, but I think it's the accurate and the correct minority. That's something that I've been talking about for the past couple weeks, and when the entire NIL deal got started, I was a college athlete when NIL started, and I personally saw the change that everything came with that. And again, talking about, I think it's a great word. I think it's soft that everything comes with it. If you are in the NFL and you are getting paid millions of dollars to do your job and you don't do it, it's not the head coach that takes the blame for it. It is the players, and you get cut. You get traded, you get something along those lines. Now in college football, you're starting to get paid. There's kids that are making more than college coaches. You could have a guy that's making more than your head coach, and you're at the college level. There is zero excuse for not having some sort of responsibility on your end as well. And with the transfer portal now, it's, I don't like it. I can leave. I don't want to handle any of this. And that is the inaccurate way that everything should be handled, right? Just because it's going off of what Matt said, there needs to be some sort of accountability because the coaches can do everything they can up until the play, or I guess up until 15 seconds on the play clock, right?
Sure.
But all of a sudden, you say, "Hut, Coach Freeze can't make a throw."
Which is what a lot of people, myself included, have said. I mean, you can hold him accountable, and Matt is correct. Freeze has been quoted several times saying, we have to do a better job. We have to coach better, and I know we got to get to a break. I agree that I think the game plan hasn't been all that crazily bad.
No.
I really don't.
Not
like,
at all.
It's not perfect, but I think it's been good enough.
It's been good enough, which gets back to the core part of this entire conversation. Clean up the turnovers and Auburn's 4-0. Plain and simple. That's the one sentence to paste on the wall, and you could say it every minute of every day on this program and on this radio station. Clean up the turnovers and Auburn's 4-0. It's plain and simple. But all of that being said, I feel like NIL has made college football more serious. And what I mean by that, before we get to break, is it's always been a big deal. There's always been millions and millions of dollars riding on college football, but now there's more. Now there's more money, and now there's fans' money, and there's donor money, and there's booster money, and there's all these different and business money. It has made college athletics take that next step. The barrier has been broken between college and professional sports. The thing that separated them no longer exists. And when guys like Matt, who work however many hours a week and however many hours a month and however many hours per year, and after they put food on the table for their family, and after they put clothes on their back and for their family, they go out and they stroke that check to the university and they want their football team to be good, and it doesn't happen after being told it was going to happen, yeah, you have a right to be upset. And when your coach says things that are idiotic on a microphone, it takes it to another level. And it's understandable. And Auburn fans are tired of it.
It's very understandable. I mean, even if you take the college football out of it, because college football is, when it's all said and done, a business. If I'm your boss and I hire you and promote you and you don't take responsibility, you don't do the job, you're taking responsibility, but it also comes back to me and I have to say the right things as well. And things have been said for quite a long time now, and regardless of it's right or if it's wrong, the people that are forking over everything for it are tired of it, and the rest of Auburn football is as well.
And it doesn't fall on one person, it's everybody in the building. It is. I think needs to be stated as well. All right, let's get to our final break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll wrap it up on the other side here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. It's not exactly where I thought today was going to go, but I'm here for it.
The voice came back a little bit. Last segment.
Get me fired up a little bit. The voice will start coming back out.
That honey hot tea right there.
I had to hold myself back, because if it does start coming back and I start screaming on the show and if it goes out on me completely, then I'm doomed.
Well, then that right there is, I mean, that's false advertising. I thought this was a show that holds nothing back, and you said you were having to hold yourself back, so... Ah, there it is right there.
God, call me out of my own show. That's crazy. No, we appreciate everybody tuning in here on the Tuesday edition of Online. Been a great show today. Had Lindsey Crosby in here for hour number one, Baseball Power Hour. Got a lot of conversation in with him. Braves, MLB postseason. It's a week away. Speaking of the Braves, they take on the Mets starting tonight in Atlanta. You can listen to that game live here on ESPN 106.7 tonight and tomorrow. Both games begin at 6 p.m. So be sure you stay tuned after the drive with Bill and Dan. You can catch those two games right here on ESPN starting at 6 p.m. tonight and tomorrow. And then here in hour two, it's been just a flurry of phone calls, which we expect nothing less right now with everything going on. And been a lot of great conversation. So if you missed any of that, you can go and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. Going to be posted coming up in just a few minutes. Bottom line, Christian, and I know you're going to be in here a few more times this week, and we'll have more conversations, but starting tomorrow is when we begin to flip the page a little bit. Bottom line is this. I believe, me personally, I believe what is going wrong right now for Auburn can be fixed. I think it can be fixed. It will be tough. And as big of a factor as turnovers are, if that's the thing that gets fixed, Auburn can win some games. Now, the problem is the schedule gets harder. It gets a lot harder starting this weekend. But overall, I believe it can be fixed. Will it? I don't know. We'll find out. But I think it can.
Is that a it can be fixed this year mentality? Or is that something that this can be fixed, but it might be next year?
I think it can be fixed to an extent this year.
I would agree.
But I think a better quarterback probably fixes it, yeah, which would have to be next season.
Right.
Could have been this year, but yes. I think you can fix it enough this year to get a couple of wins that you need to survive, But to fix it long term, you're going to have to get a different quarterback.
Hot question for you. Rest of the season, who's the guy?
I think you got to start Peyton Saturday. I think I'm not 100%
we're talking
on that.
About,
I don't know.
If we're talking about turning Auburn into a running offense, I think it has to be him.
Yeah. I may change my answer before Saturday. You never know. Good thing is I'm back tomorrow. Christian, you're here Thursday. We'll have updates for you on that tomorrow. And then Friday as well, I think. Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
I might be here tomorrow too. You never know.
Well, here's what I can tell you. I'm back tomorrow 2-4. As long as the voice doesn't completely go out, we're back tomorrow 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm your man Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.